I'm Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. No deal. The Writers Guild tweeting that picketing will begin tomorrow afternoon after no deal was reached with the group representing Hollywood studios in labor talks. They've been in intense negotiations, but the talks have ended without the two sides reaching an agreement. That means thousands of writers are heading to the picket line. The WGA called the studio's responses wholly insufficient. Entertainment Tonight's Kevin Frazier tells us this impacts shows like Saturday Night Live.
This week's scheduled host is Pete Davidson.
As you know, the writer's strike might happen.
Oh, that's right.
So I've been working on this for like 2-3 months, and they're like, yeah, we'll know Monday.
The main issue is streaming. 78% of households now subscribe to at least one streaming service, but the writers say those series pay less and have fewer episodes.
An awful discovery in Oklahoma. 7 bodies found on a property while authorities were searching for 2 missing teens. Sheriff Eddie Rice on the investigation.
We have no idea at this time. We're still conducting an investigation. We're still following up the leads. Still doing everything that we can just in case there's something that is left open. We don't want to miss anything.
Officials say the property belonged to a registered sex offender. Still no sign of Francisco Oropeza. He's suspected of killing 5 of his neighbors in Cleveland, Texas, Friday night. Dave Tiller lives nearby.
He could have had somebody escort him out of the neighborhood, found a place to hide. The community's definitely on high alert. We're on edge, nervous, scared. We want the coward caught.
Hundreds of officers have been searching for him. There's an $80,000 reward for that shooter. At least 6 are dead in Illinois after a dust storm caused a massive pileup on an interstate.
Illinois State Police Major Ryan Starek says nearly 100 vehicles were involved.
Approximately 30 commercial motor vehicles and 40 to 60 passenger cars were involved. This includes 2 truck tractor semi trailers that caught fire as a result of the crashes.
The windstorm kicked up dust from nearby farm fields, which caused the blinding dust clouds on both sides of the interstate.
We have reports of more than 30 people being transported to multiple area hospitals. Injuries range from minor to life-threatening, and ages range from 2 to 80 years old.
Both sides of the highway likely won't reopen until morning. Matt Piper, CBS News.
Canadian folk rock singer Gordon Lightfoot has died at the age of 84. His publicist confirming the news to CBS. He died at a hospital in Toronto. This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Maxine Radio with Dennis Graham from Rock Onsen.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article in the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Maxine Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
Pro tip, if you look up a chili recipe and it doesn't have pasta in it, don't think you can just use all of the same ratios, and adding a box of pasta will not just make it into pasta with chili as the sauce.
You added an entire box of pasta?
I did.
Yeah, that's a little much.
That's too much. Mm-hmm. I had no supervision.
More like a chili hot dish.
Yeah, exactly.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome to the 1 o'clock, no sour, haha, funny hour. No sour. Happy, fun time, haha, power hour. Welcome to the No Sour Fun Time, haha, power hour.
Oh, she did it.
I got it.
I think she's got it. By George, she's got it. By George, she's got it.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
To mow or not to mow? That is the question for some homeowners. And what will you do this no-mow May? Are you angry about it? Are you angry when your neighbors let their lawn get unwieldy? Do you take a lot of pride in your grooming of your kingdom? Or are you all in on let the bees have their way with my lawn? Let the pollinators pollinate. 844-967-2789. Where do you fall on these lawn wars that are happening between curb appeal and the HOAs and keeping things nice and tidy versus, you know, like biodiversity and climate change and letting the bees live? 844-967-2789. Will you mow this May? Jane?
My husband's gearing up for this weekend.
To mow?
To mow.
Did you guys fight about it?
I will lose. And I think that's important to recognize when you're going into a fight, you simply cannot win. I like to think, though, that I do a lot of other things to mitigate the mowing in May. Because we've talked about, we have a whole bunch of milkweed along our alley fence that anyone is welcome to come by and steal this milkweed anytime they want, if they will help you. And also just with other flowers that we have lots of bees. We have lots and lots of honeybees and bumblebees, and those are all really good bees. And so there are all kinds of things that you can do to encourage bees.
Yeah. So I think it's interesting. So I didn't know. So it originally no-mow May, it was in the UK, but then in the US, it started in Appleton.
It did.
Appleton, Wisconsin was the first city to adopt no-mow May.
Wow.
And I didn't know that until this morning when I was reading about this, because this was a debate that's popped up at least this weekend, because it starts in May. Mm-hmm. Today is May 1st. And as far as in multiple different newsletters that I received, a lot of people wrote about this weekend as far as where
it began.
Not even where it began, but like, will you do it? Journal Sentinel had a piece this weekend talking about doing it. And just to know, if you are in Milwaukee and listening to this, you have to register to do it, because cities will fine you.
They will.
And so you need to like register. You can get like a little lawn sign saying we're participating in this. We're not just being lazy. But it's in past years, participants have watched their lawns transform from an ecological dead zone to tall grassed ecosystem rife with bumblebees and songbirds and chipmunks and other forest friends. I guess in Minnesota last year, they called police on snakes they spotted, which, like, don't call the police on snakes.
No.
That is not their job.
No.
Like, if you see, like, a snapping turtle in your yard, this is why, like, we need more diversity in, like, who we're supposed to call, because, like, the police are not going to take care of the snakes in your yard.
They got enough stuff they're dealing with.
But it's just interesting because it's like a frontline issue in neighborhoods across the country. And so I'm asking if people have strong feelings about this, because I think people have some. We worked with some people, yes, who have very strong feelings about their lawn,
yes,
and their pristine growing and fertilizing and watering and mowing every whatever amount of days. And
mowing on an angle.
Mowing on an angle.
Mowing on an angle. Very important, Kristen Bray.
Versus, you know, the folks who are buying into this and saying, I don't need a pristine lawn and I would rather have
the
wildlife flourish. So where do you stand on this? 844-967-2789. Are you pro-mo or anti-mo?
Just for May.
Just for May.
Just for the month of May. Texter from 262 says, we have a lot of early blooming flowers and plants in our landscape, so I don't feel bad about mowing. So yes, I will be mowing.
All right, there you go.
And from the 414, for many years, we had a lovely neighbor who left a flower at the door of all the homes on the block. Later, when I was in K-4 and K-5 room mom in my kids' school, I would help the class prepare May baskets so that they'd take home any extras that we would put candy in and drop outside of other classrooms.
So there's a May Day.
There's a May Day.
May Day, in. May Day basket.
So you were not alone.
I'm not alone.
844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. If you want to call and or text, will you be mowing? But as you said, we've worked with people who are very invested in having the greenest, most, you know, weed-free, perfect golf course type lawn. And I'm not, and neither is my husband. Neither of us are that crazy.
So this is interesting. So so Emma Criss of Green America, which is an environmental nonprofit, was quoted in this Axios article that's talking about kind of all the lawn wars. And she said, the more conservative someone is, the more staunchly they hold the belief that they need to hold a perfectly manicured green lawn. And I'm trying to think, and I don't know enough of my conservative, like, certainly some of the people that I'm thinking of that they would identify as conservative, the ones who I know are deeply concerned about their lawns. But I don't know if that holds true for everyone. But I think it's an interesting like observation to make, that your political leanings could be an indication of how seriously you take your lawn practice.
There needs to be more research on that. I think that needs to go a little bit deeper. But that's fascinating.
Is that fascinating?
It is.
And so her organization, like I said, it's called Green America. And they, so there isn't no, their group doesn't do No Mow May, as far as it's called. They grow climate victory gardens.
Okay.
Which are modeled after World War I and World War II era vegetable gardens. And she said, we do encourage people to grow food, or at least, at the very least, have a pollinator garden. We encourage people to grow native plants. The main practices are not using those harmful synthetic pesticides and fertilizers.
Yeah.
Because I feel like there's probably, and this is as someone who's, this will be my first summer really trying to have a lawn. We still have no idea what we're going to do with our yard. But I just think it's interesting that people get so, I feel like there's two very definite camps. And so I would love to hear from more people as far as where they stand when it comes to, you know, once we get past this elongated winter and your grass starts to grow.
Oh, ours is long already.
Is it long already?
Oh, yeah. And our neighbor mowed already.
Oh. Is your neighbor obsessed with their lawn?
No, it's a teeny tiny lawn.
Yeah.
No, I don't think they're obsessed. But it's done. And I know Paul is, because again, it's ankle high already.
But what say you? Are you going to be mowing or not mowing this May? 844-967-2789.
2789. And so there's also like an anti-lawn movement as far as just taking out grass entirely and planting different sustainable, you know, regional plants that are like native to your area.
And I'm actually seeing more of that in our neighborhood.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Front lawns and putting in wildflowers and things like that to get lawns are not native.
No.
The grass we grow on our lawns is not native, and it takes an immense amount of water.
I think I saw something over the weekend as far as how many golf courses there are across the country. And Wisconsin had like an insane amount of golf courses. And I just think about that all the time. And I'm not anti-golf. Like I'll try to play a little bit this summer. But it is interesting to think about the amount of water or resources that go into something when it's not actually like a native part of the climate. And so it's interesting to think about what, because we're not getting rid of golf courses anytime soon.
Tragically, no. 844-967-2789 or 844-96-PARTY. Rob from Port Edwards joining us. Tell us about your lawn, Rob.
Never spoke to you folks in the past, but anyway, I have one of the more lush lawns. Yes, I have one of the more lush lawns in the neighborhood. And I learned this when I worked for the sewage district. I was in management for Jones Island. Apply Milorganite or something like that without all the fillers and additives and all the cutesy stuff. And I set my deck as high as I can. And that's what I maintain throughout the year. However, May, I let it go.
I
just overscatter with seed. I overscatter with grass seed as well as clover. Back many, many years ago, you used to get clover in with your grass seed mix. They stopped doing that because, well, it's a broadleaf and it would die. But I don't use the weed killers. I just use fertilizer, natural stuff. And I'm here to tell you, you have the natural nitrogen replacers in the clover. You let the lawn grow long. You mulch the stuff back in. And it just keeps progressing. And eventually it crowds the weeds out. How cool is that?
That is really cool.
That
so how,
cool.
When you let your lawn go for May, how do your neighbors feel about it, Rob?
They're all great. Because they all say, hey, your lawn looks great. They're like, thank you.
Yeah. So you're onto something.
I'm not obnoxious about it. I'm really not. Yeah, I've got one neighbor on the one side. The only time he mows is when his mom comes over. And the other gentleman, I haven't really spoken with him. I'm guessing he's going to be probably pretty persnickety, and we'll have a chat. You know, there's a narrow strip between his property and mine, and if he's really adamant, okay, I'll mow that strip. That's cool. I can do that. But let my majority of my lawn be, because to me it's healthier. And it's better for the environment. I don't have all this stuff going into the Wisconsin River.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Thanks so
have
much,
nice
Rob.
Day.
You
have
too. Yeah, have a great day, Rob. Thanks for calling. So I just think it's interesting, especially because like HOAs and certain neighbors and stuff like are very anti. And so it's interesting just to hear, you know, if your neighbors have a problem with it. Because I will say growing up on our block, and this was before this was like a movement at all, but there was one house on the block and that I don't think they were doing it for any like environmental reasons. I think they just didn't
like to mow.
They just don't think they cared about their lawn. They had other priorities. Like they're a little more like hippy dippy than the other people on the cul-de-sac. And I just, to this day, I feel like my mom is like, oh God, their lawn.
Lawn judgments. Oh, man.
So what will you do this May? Will you mow? Will you not mow? 844-967-2789. We'll keep the conversation going right after the break.
When it comes to hair and makeup artistry, there is only one salon that you need, Raven and Blonde. Their stylists are passionate about their work and committed to giving you the best service possible. From precision cuts to perms, balayage to dimensional color service and more, the Raven and Blonde stylists do it all. Book your appointment today at ravenandblonde.com. That's ravenandblonde.com. Raven and Blonde, where hair and makeup artistry meets exceptional service. 157 South First Street, Milwaukee.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Courage. I learned it from my adoptive mom.
Hold my hand.
You hold my hand.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Here's your updated forecast on The Shaw.
Lows around 36 overnight. Under cloudy skies, northwest winds 15 to 20 miles an hour. Overcast skies tomorrow, highs around 48. Lows dip down to about 32 tomorrow night, mainly clear. Overcast skies Wednesday, decreasing clouds by Thursday. Mid-50s Wednesday, low 60s by Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 39 degrees.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Ooh, yeah. You might been hurt, babe. That ain't no lie. Just seen them all come and go.
I can't believe Jade Madner. This has been over 10 years that it's gonna be May. The most, arguably one of the most tiresome annual memes that happens every year without a, and then the next one is Thursday with May the 4th be with you.
Okay, that
for
I know.
Star Wars Day. But you've never seen Justin Timberlake with his curly, like, white boy afro from his, and I think he's probably wearing like a white mock turtleneck, and it's from this video, and everyone in the first day of May every year, it's just, the internet is just flooded with memes of, it's gonna be May.
NSYNC. No, NSYNC was not exactly in my wheelhouse.
No, I know, but I just feel like it's like pop culture. Because this has only been since April of 2012, there was a Tumblr that singled out Justin Timberlake's, you know, Southern enunciation of May. It sounds a lot like May instead of me.
Right.
And for the last 10 years, it's just
taken over
every May 1st.
No Mo May.
No Mo May. And so we are asking you, where you stand on the lawn wars of a pristine, you know, curb appeal, beautiful beautiful lawn versus, you know, being anti-gas powered mowers and biodiversity. And there's not all just no mow May. There's more things than just the month long thing as far as trying to balance. There's like low mow and all these other things.
Right.
And so just getting as spring hopefully we'll be here soon. Where do you stand on the lawn wars? 844-967-2789.
Also, 844-96-PARTY. Jim from the 920 from Appleton. I will not be mowing in May. I love all the early little yellow flowers and the purple and pink ones, too. The number of bees, hummingbirds, and other pollinators is amazing.
Oh.
And it really is wonderful. Once you get into your yard a little bit more, Kristen, because I know you're a new homeowner, but that's one of my biggest thrills of the summer is when the hummingbirds finally show up. And I have discussions with them.
Do you?
I do.
What secrets do they hold of yours?
Well, I usually just say hello and welcome. Nice to see you. But I've had them come within an inch or 12, you know, 6 inches of my face.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. And they just hang there and like they look at you like, God, you're large. You seem, how do you fly? You look really big.
What's the other wildlife in your yard that you appreciate or have a connection to?
As annoying as they are, and it's easier now that the dog is gone, but I love our bunnies. And they will be destructive and they will eat things I don't necessarily want them to eat, but they're adorable.
They're so cute.
They are. And the babies, we usually end up with, you know, a nest or two. And again, this is why I'm glad my dog is gone, because I used to have to protect the bunnies from the Barkley. And there was one year that the mom actually left her den, left her nest right in the middle of the yard, right where he could get at it. So I put a fence up around.
No, the, you
yes,
didn't.
I did. Yes, I did. And I would, and then after he would go in the house, I would open it up so mom could get in and out. But yes. And they, you know, they called them dumb bunnies. That was not a dumb bunny. That was a dumb Jane, because I protected her bunnies for her that whole season.
Did they all survive?
They never call.
They never call.
They never call.
So ungrateful.
I know.
So typical Gen Z.
Right?
God.
Just take it all and then leave. Don't let me know where you land.
Well, it's interesting that our last texter was from Appleton, because so part of the reason, so this, we said last in the last segment, this was the first city to really do no-mo May was Appleton.
Yeah.
And earlier this year, questions started being raised to the accuracy of the research that had been done that supported no-mo May in Appleton. And this was back in March, their common council meeting, Alder Chad Doran introduced a resolution that called into question the research paper published by fellow alder Israel Del Toro, an associate professor of biology at Lawrence University, that claimed bees were found in local yards that did not cut their grass for the month. So the study has been retracted.
Really?
Yeah, by the website that first published it, and citing issues with the research methods and discrepancies in the data collected in the field. So they put it to a vote, and it still stands. So Appleton's still doing No Mow May, but there was a little bit of contention around whether or not how good it is and how good the research was. So there's a little factoid for you.
And I think Rob made a really good point as far as if you can stay away from the pesticides and use natural fertilizers and use natural things, it's just going to be a better outcome for everybody.
Well, and also, like, I think our lawnmower is,
It's a push mower.
It's a push mower. We also don't have a huge yard.
Yeah, you have a small yard.
We have a small yard, and so it's not like, but, you know, I think there's also, like, gas-powered mowers and how much you use that versus, you know, eco-friendly methods of manicuring your lawn.
Milorganite. You can get it
Milorganite.
Right here.
Milorganite. And it's also fun to say.
It's a fun word.
What was the stalagmite?
Stalactites?
Stalactites? What's in the Cave of the Mounds?
Stalactites?
Yeah.
That's
also fun to say when you can say it right. All right, when we come back, did you watch any of the Correspondents' Dinner? Because there were some good zingers, so we got some sound clips from that. But I think, per usual, the host, the comedian host, Roy Wood Jr., made a very good point, and probably the existential, technological, and political problem of our time, the paywall when it comes to media. 844-967-2789. How do you feel about paywalls? Are they good or bad? What do we do with them? This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll talk about it when we come back.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Special Report. The Writers Guild says no deal's been reached to keep writers of your favorite films and TV shows from walking off the set. Writers from shows like this one.
It's the Late Show with Stephen Colbert.
The The WGA tweeting the picketing will begin tomorrow afternoon. Entertainment Tonight's Kevin Frazier.
10 years ago, the WGA says a third of its TV writers worked at the minimum salary. It's now half. But studio producers say their budgets are already stretched and they can't make a profit by paying more when revenues are falling. Also playing a role in the labor talks? AI. The writers want assurances that studios won't use artificial intelligence like ChatGPT to generate new scripts.
The Writers Guild called the studio's response to the negotiations, quote, wholly insufficient given the existential crisis writers are facing. CBS News Special Report. I'm Stacey Lynn.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
My former boss, George Stanley, former editor of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I've told you the story of that. My brother and I are fighting over who's going to get our tickets. I think I have claim because I live here.
Exactly.
Right? He's older, but I live here.
Yeah, but that trumps it.
So. It's been decided now. It's done.
I'll tell my parents. That's even more.
You can let him go to one game if he wants.
Yeah, exactly.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Women get a lot of advice about self-care these days, but one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. And we got a couple calls and texts to finish up our conversation about No Mo May. So we'll do that. And then we're going to talk about paywalls when it comes to important news coverage and kind of the existential question that they create. And shockingly, this question was posed by a comedian at the Correspondents' Dinner. And so we'll get back to that. But
Tom from Cedarburg is joining us. Tom, tell me I'm not the only one who talks to the birds that show up in my yard.
Well, we're a unique bunch, I'll just say that. I also, for about 10 years now, I live in a rural area, and there's quite a few trees and bushes. And I noticed about 10 years ago, I'd come home from work, and there's this wild bird would be waiting for me and the tree and would call out. So I started calling back to it, and that's what started. And I've noticed that almost all birds, except for some of the hawks, they're very, very, very quiet. But most other birds, from something as small as a hummingbird, they've got such a, if you ever listen to them and you allow them to get close to you, they have a little tiny voice too. It sounds like a little electric buzz, a little tiny buzz. Their voice is really tiny. But I mean, blue jays, crows can be friendly. I do feed birds too. You know, that helps. But still, even the ones that don't take the food that I put out, like robins and stuff, very friendly. And at your home, at your work, if you, as you're walking in, when the birds are chirping, if you mimic them, that's the key. You got to mimic them. And I mean, obviously they know we're not birds, but by them, by us mimicking them, they realize we're paying attention, because they're paying attention to us, I found. And I mean, wherever you go, if you go there fairly often, they'll be there waiting for you. And the drive-through, I mean, in the bushes, I mean, it's just, they're there. I think that God has made them to have a voice the way we do, and we're some of the only creatures on earth that really do. Otherwise, they're, you know, being pretty quiet, trying to hide and, you know, not be eaten, right?
Right,
yeah.
but it's just a joy. And and if they like you, if they're interested in you, they actually fly towards you and then veer away at the last second, because they want to see your face. They want to see who you are. And I've heard it's proven that crows know who, you know, like the people that, you know, are commonly around them. And there's people who are mean to crows. I know somebody's person who got hit in the head by a crow, pecked because he was yelling at the crow. And they're quite something else. And I think they're pretty intelligent, really, more than people give them credit for. All, isn't there that one parakeet or something, or parrot that could speak 280 words or something, and it actually had an understanding of what was being said somewhat?
Well, we were just talking about parrots earlier today, as far as a new study that shows that they get lonely. And so when they're less lonely when they FaceTime their friends. Thanks so much for the call, Tom.
Appreciate it, Tom. I am not nuts for talking.
You're not nuts. I didn't say you are nuts.
I'm just assuming some out there might assume that old Jane's a little...
Believe me, I've spent enough time with my mother, Debbie Bry, and her sanctuary of animals that she's taking care of. I remember, if she's listening, maybe she'll call in and tell us. I think that there was a mama duck that got hit by a car. And I've never seen her more distraught.
Oh my.
Like, she gets so attached to some of the animals that live in her very big garden, because they live in the river.
Right.
And so she constantly just has creatures of all sorts, and she gets very protective of them as well. So there was no judgment from over here.
Cool. Thank you. Because I do talk to my hummingbirds.
Yeah, that's fine. They can hear you clearly.
Tom says I can, and that's why they stare at me.
All right. So moving on. Did you watch any of the Correspondents' Dinner?
I watched most of it online yesterday. I did not watch it live.
And, you know, there's always critiques around the Correspondents' Dinner as far as, is it a little too cozy between the electeds and journalists and stuff? But, you know, it's also known as Nerd Prom. But the White House Correspondents' Dinner, Association's Dinner, was on Saturday evening. And it was headlined by President Biden and hosted by comedian Roy Wood Jr., who you might recognize from The Daily Show. And
I didn't realize his father was that famous.
I didn't know that either, actually.
His father was a journalist.
Yeah. And like a pretty substantial work that he's done. And so when I saw that part, and we'll play the clip, but I was just wondering, I was like, I wonder what that conversation was like when his dad was this like very prolific black journalist in Vietnam and across the country and covered so many things, and that his son was like, I'm going to be a comedian. And it makes a lot more sense, because I would put, you know, as most of the comedians who work on The Daily Show are, they are satirists. They are use humor to point out the irony. They are, you know, Hasan Minhaj, who his was excellent back in 2017. And so, not shockingly, Roy Wood Jr. spent this time certainly making some digs. Let's play some of the digs before we get at the...
All right. This is, he is talking about Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas.
You are trying to erase black people, and a lot of black people wouldn't mind some of that erasure as long as that black person is Clarence Thomas. A billionaire named Harlan Crow is flying Clarence Thomas all over the world on unreported trips, like an Instagram model, taking Clarence to the Maldives and the beaches and all. Paid for his mama's house, this billionaire. Paid for Clarence Thomas' mama's house. I gotta give it up to billionaires. Billionaires, boy, y'all are relentless. Y'all always come up with something new to buy. Like, just when you think of everything you could buy on Earth, a billionaire will come up with a new thing. Y'all buy space rockets, you bought Twitter. This man bought a Supreme Court justice. Do you understand how rich you have to be to buy a Supreme Court, a black one, on top of that? There's only two in stock. And Harlan Crow owns half the inventory. We can all see Clarence Thomas, but he belongs to billionaire Harlan Crow. And that's what an NFT is.
That was one of the best. I mean, he did a great job, but I thought that that was one of the best lines of the night.
Yes, absolutely.
It was just brilliant. And the other thing I want to say, too, about comedians is they tend to be very well-read.
Oh, yeah.
Because, especially if they're doing political humor, and they need to know what's going on. So they read a lot.
Absolutely. And so, you know, he poked fun at the president. He made fun of Tucker. He made fun of Don Lemon. He made fun of Don Lemon a lot, actually. But the thing that I think got the most, like, perked your eyebrows, kind of was like, oh, like, this is so true.
Yes.
Was the existential political problem of paywalls. And the problem being, how do you afford to do good journalism and pay journalists when the model of advertising
is broken?
And so more and more, I mean, I hit paywalls all the time trying to do research, and there's only so many. I try, you know, I pay for Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. No, that's not true because I actually work for Journal Sentinel. But before I started working there, I paid for Journal Sentinel.
Right.
I pay for New York Times. I pay for Washington Post. Like, it's like you have to pick and choose.
Yes.
What you're willing to pay every month because you do believe in journalism, but you can't pay for all of them. And on the flip side, if you don't pay for it, then we can't fund it and we need it. And then there's also a bunch of people giving free information out that may not be as vetted as we want it to be. So let's play. Should we break it up a couple bit?
Just one piece.
Okay.
Tonight is all about you all, the journalists, the defenders of free speech, the people who show truth to the world through different mediums, through television, through print, through radio, through whatever China let us see on TikTok. But the industry that covers all of these scandals isn't immune to them themselves. The issue with good media is that most people can't afford that. All the essential, fair, and nuanced reporting, it's all stuck behind a paywall. People can't afford rent, people can't afford food, not healthy food, they can't afford an education, they damn sure can't afford to pay for the truth. Say what you want about a conspiracy theory, but at least it's affordable. I mean, well, unless you Alex Jones, it'll cost you about $900 million. And I understand that we have to put the stuff behind the paywall because creating the truth is important. People can't afford the truth, but you all can't afford to go find the truth for free. The work you do as journalists is important, it's essential, it's dangerous.
That's Roy Wood Jr., MC for last night's White House Correspondents' Dinner, and he's right.
He's totally right. And I don't know if there's an answer, though. I don't know if there's an answer as far as beyond benevolent billionaires who want to fund journalism because they believe in it. More advertisements, more donations as far as, you know, if you, those of us who can donate, subscribe, but you don't think put things behind a paywall. And I certainly don't know what the answer is as far as how do you go about, because journalists also deserve to get paid. And I'm friends with journalists and I see how hard they work.
Yes.
And how hard the painstaking effort it takes to do the kind of work like Ashley Lutheran did when she was on last week, to do the investigative reporting of the Milwaukee Police Department and know that you're going to piss some people off, but also give everyone the opportunity to make statements and go through just so much documentation and videos and stuff of like what it takes to actually do thorough, nuanced journalism. Those people deserve to get paid.
Definitely.
And we need it. Like our democracy needs journalism. And I understand the instinct to ask people to pay for it, but also when there's so much free information out there that's not vetted, why would people not go to the stuff that's just free and available?
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. We have Ron from Milwaukee is on the line. What do you want to say, Ron? Thanks for joining us.
Hi. I'm a retired journalist, and this grieves me greatly. You know, we can't really operate without a free press in this country, mm-hmm. and one that's professional and has standards. But one suggestion that came up quite a while ago, it's not mine, was that, you know, there is micro billing already on the web for other kinds of sites. You know, you pay a few cents every time you hit the web. And it's just automatically deducted from your PayPal account or whatever. And it just adds up over the millions of times people use the thing. I think what they should impose that on any site that's reusing news. In other words, if there was a news story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and Google News picks it up and puts it on the web, anybody who looks at it on Google News, either Google News and or the reader of that website is going to have to pay a few cents to read that article. And generally that spreads out the cost. And over time, they'll make their nut because everybody will be able to, they'll actually have a wider paid subscriber base all over the world because anybody can look at those stories.
So would it be on the aggregate sites that would, you'd get billed?
Aggregator sites. I mean, many, as already has been pointed out, many newspapers already have paywalls, but this would be in addition to a paywall, and it might be able to make the paywall go away, actually, if it was really successful. So you go to Google News, or you go to Daily Coast, or someplace that's reprinting newspaper articles without direct links. They're just quoting from them, and you can go to the direct link and make use of it if you can. There'd be a micro payment of a couple of cents or 3 cents per every view. Any one reader would pay a few cents. So wouldn't, you know, you could, your use could really add up if you're a voracious news reader.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, presumably you'd be concerned about that at some point, but at least there'd be a record of it. And you could tally it up and decide if that was worth the value to you, or maybe it'd be cheaper for you to get a subscription. So I think it's a good system, but I think it's going to require that some legislation that obliges the aggregators and other websites to actually do this.
Thanks so much for your call, Ron. We really appreciate it. They're going to have to do something, right? I mean, this model is not sustainable.
You
are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Cardall put out these weird, sad videos interviewing incapacitated elders in their nursing homes that don't have the ability to say, don't use me as your political prop.
If they are what you say they are, then you shouldn't be doing it how you did it.
Yes, it was the kids using the parents as props. Well, my old man hasn't talked since 76. Of course he would have voted for Trump. That's the evidence. Videos. People that can't talk.
It is wrong. So it's absolutely dirty. Wrong.
Check out the entire podcast library at darnwi.com.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Overcast overnight with lows around 36. Northwest winds 15 to 20 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 48. Lows dip down to about 32 tomorrow night. Overcast skies Wednesday with daytime highs approaching 56. 63 Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 37 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair, and we were talking about paywalls and specifically the question of how do you pay for good, how does an outlet like New York Times, like how do you pay journalists what they deserve to make for the work that they do and also the value that they provide to all of us without putting a paywall up? Because right, paywalls, you know, there's only, even for people who have the means, like there's only so many you can, you feel like you can pay for every month to, you know, before you're like, well, I just won't read that
right
one.
Right.
And, or, you know, do you the little tricks that you can kind of find as far as going incognito mode and get a couple more free articles before your IP address flags you. And, you know, and so I don't, the different funding models are broken for media.
Well, and certainly for print and for newspapers. I mean, classifieds were their lifeblood, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that has all gone away. Now we have, you know, online places and even just neighborhood places on Facebook. And we talked about the sharing economy and things like that. And so the need for all those classifieds is gone. What do you come up with instead? And as you said, journalists are pretty wonderful people and very passionate about what they do, but they're not going to do it for nothing.
No.
And they shouldn't be expected to do it for nothing.
Well, and also there becomes an entire problem that, like, earlier in the pipeline of budding journalists, and this has been a problem for a while, is, and this is media kind of in general, is the expectation that when you're trying to get your foot in the door in media, in journalism, you know, unpaid internships, getting paid, you know, living in some of the most expensive cities in the country and making less, you know, poverty type wages.
Right.
And partially it's because the outlet themselves, like there's not a lot of money to be made. And so you basically pipeline in your pipeline of like future journalists have people who can afford to make those wages because they're more affluent and their parents can help them make rent or help them. They don't have student loans or whatever reason that they can afford to make that little. And so you have people who maybe would be great journalists who are like, I can't afford to only make $25,000 a year.
Not living in New York City and not even living in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. You can call and or text anytime. 262 says print media just hasn't found a way to properly monetize the product. I don't have to pay to watch local TV stations, but they still do good work. Print media just needs to rethink how they generate their income. Subscriptions aren't working. They need to find a way to leverage advertising. But I will say this about most media, most forms of media, TV and radio and print. Salaries are not what they were.
No.
And certainly not in television news. And reporters in television news, I think people would be shocked to find out how much some of those on-site reporters are making.
And they work. I mean, some of the things that our local newscasters have to go do Like what hours of the morning they have to wake up to go
2 o'clock in the morning
cover things, or what kind of weather they have to stand outside in to report things, because that's the shot that they want.
Yep.
And, you know, and sometimes when they're first, they're really first getting their foot in the door, they get sent to
the crummy places.
The middle of nowhere.
Yes, the crummy and, places.
And that is their training ground to get good at that job and then hopefully get promoted to bigger markets and stuff. But even once you're in the bigger market, it's not like you're getting paid, you know.
No.
It's so much like acting and in most entertainment where the people at the very top suck up so much of the salaries. You know, the in like Hollywood, it's like, you know, the Shonda Rhimes and the other showrunners who make, you know, they suck up so much money in these deals that, like, when, you know, the people who are the, I mean, the writer's strike is basically happening
now. It's going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah. And so it's like feast or famine in a lot of these industries now for people who just want to do good work. But the Tucker Carlsons and the Rachel Maddows and like the people at the very, very top can make so much money,
yes.
But the average person trying to work in the industry is struggling.
And this started in the middle to late 90s already, because I could see it coming down the pike as mm-hmm. far as salaries and things. And I had friends reaching out to me saying, my kid wants to go into radio. And I'd say, you don't want to do that. If you have aptitude for something else, that's what I would suggest.
Which is so interesting then, and with only 3 minutes left in the show, maybe I shouldn't even pose this question, because then there's like the whole idea of podcasting, which in the last 5 years has blown up and there has been money there.
Right.
And I don't know if there will continue to be money there, but also probably a similar situation where there's a lot of money now at the very top people with the most audiences, or people who can just come in like a Meghan Markle and immediately have an audience and
right.
they get paid these huge deals. But I don't know. I think, you know, there's like, if you think about it now, I feel like when George Stanley was here a couple months ago, there's grants, there's benevolent rich people, there's advertising, there's subscriptions, there's donations and like Patreons. And I don't know what else, like what is the revolutionary model to break through without keeping people away from the information that would inform democracy and making them pay for it.
Well, and as Roy Wood Jr. said during the correspondence dinner, conspiracies are free.
I know.
And easily obtainable on numerous different outlets. And it's kind of scary because seriously, every community and especially smaller local communities, it will vastly change the quality of your life if you don't have somebody watching over those people.
Oh, yeah. If you don't, like, democracy dies in the dark.
It does.
As they say.
Yes, it does. You got to have somebody watching.
All right. Well, to end on a high note, are you going to watch the Met Gala tonight?
Oh, that will just annoy me to no end because all of the Kardashians will be there.
Oh, you're so mean to them.
With I feel I'm justified.
Okay. Well, I don't really care, but if we'll see if any news gets there's
generated.
Any newsmakers at the, you know, fashion's biggest night tonight.
Kim covers up.
God.
News at 9.
But then tomorrow, Dan Coffin's going to be here, the author of The Fall of Wisconsin. I'm really excited to talk to him because his book is actually what got me back into Wisconsin politics.
Cool.
So I'm excited to tell him back in 2019 how much the discovery of that book was like, oh, my home state's going through some stuff. And that kind of started the whole thing.
That's wonderful. I can't wait to hear
more. So I'm excited to talk to him tomorrow. So stick around, come back tomorrow, 11 a.m. We will be back. And actually on Thursday, I'll start promoting this now.
Oh, teasing.
Big tease for Thursday. We're going to have a big announcement on Thursday. So if you can't make tomorrow's show, we won't hold it against you. Greg might hold it against you if you can't make Wednesday's show. But you're not going to want to miss Thursday's show. I promise. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Thank you for texting. We will see you tomorrow at 11. This has been As Goes Wisconsin. Yes.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
What is dedication?
I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings.
That's dedication.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.